All right, number five is a really important question. We haven't talked about it a lot because I wanted to get a bunch of things in front of you before we talked about it. But it's a real high probability essay question for the exam because it's so very important. Most of the things that we study that are important because they're complicated. It's a complicated statistical model or a complicated methodology that allows us to look at complicated behavior. This is just a simple little univariate question. But it's incredibly important because you've heard of lies, damn lies, and statistics. Well, this is in the damn lies category. Damn lies is when the way you collect your data creates the answer that you're going to get. Okay? And that's what can happen here. I can go out and grab a sample, argue what a wonderful sampling technique it was, and still cheat like a son of a bitch. And that's what we're worried about here. Is cheating based on sampling. There's two different ways of getting a stratified sample. Let's say that our population is 70% one group, 15% another group, 10% another group, and 5% a fourth. Okay? Just to have something fairly complicated to work with. There are two different kinds of stratification. One kind of stratification is population strata matching. And as you might imagine, it's got a zillion different terms. But the idea is that the sample has the same proportions of the strata as the population. So for this sample, 70% comes from that group, 15% from that, 10 from that, and 5 from that. Okay, and these are all percents. I'm going to go ahead and put them in. Now, if you've only got enough data, or I'm sorry, you've only got enough money for your sample to be an N of 50, that means you're going to have about 35 folks here, and you're going to have to make a decision what to do with that extra one. So let's say you make this one 8, and this one 5, and this one down to 2. It means you're representing a strata of your population, a subgroup important enough to identify, with 2 people. Can you see the problem with representing the mean and the standard deviation of that strata with 2 folks? Okay? So we get to the second, which is sample sufficient sampling. And again, that's just one group's words for it, sample sufficient sampling. Sample sufficient sampling says we want to have enough people in each group that we trust the data about that group from that strata. And so if we had only an N of 50, we'd do something like we'd want to get as close to equal numbers in each strata as we can.
Is that called sample sufficient?
What? Yeah, sample sufficient is the phrase that's used by sampling theorists that I happen to like. But the idea is that we get, it's also known as proportionally flat sampling, which isn't really a better term. But the idea is we want to make sure that we've got enough people in each subsample to represent that subgroup. Because an average based on 12 people is a lot more palatable than an average based on 2 people. Here's where it gets interesting. There's 2 different things that we're likely to do with our sample. One is to represent the overall mean, which I'll use 2 bars to represent the grand mean, the mean of everybody in the study, which is everybody in the population, we hope. And we also are interested in getting the mean of each strata or subgroup. Because very often, the reason that we carefully sample multiple subgroups is we're going to compare the average on something. Make sense? So there's two different reasons to do stratification. One is to represent the population by getting good strata representation. And the other is to represent each of the subgroups, making sure that you've got good representation of each of them. The problem is, these two things don't go together. Imagine for a second that on some dependent variable, there are interesting mean differences on the DV. Okay? Don't even care what the DV is. But one group tends to have big scores, scores tend to get smaller. If we take this approach, where the number, the proportion in each strata matches the proportion in each strata of the population, our grand mean is likely to be a good representation of the population grand mean. Does that make sense? But we're likely to be uncomfortable comparing those strata to each other because some of those strata have very small samples. That's the trade-off. We've got good representation of the population stratification, but some of those strata are being represented with numbers too small to be comfortable with. If we take the sample sufficient approach, we've got a comfortable number for each group. But take a look at a moment to think what's going to happen to the grand mean of the groups, the grand mean of the sample's ability to represent the grand mean of the population. Do you see the problem? This average, instead of being represented by 70% of the group, like the population, is represented by 25%. This, instead of being represented by 5%, is now represented by 25%. Each of the subgroups has a better chance of being represented with sample-sufficient sampling. But the grand mean is likely to be misrepresentative of the population grand mean. Make sense? Okay. So here's the way this gets used. You've got two different groups, both of which are trying to argue that they're the preferred group in the population. Politics is by far the simplest. So you've got Republicans and Democrats, and both of which are trying to argue that the grand mean is aligned with their position. Okay? And, of course, the score, the average score on whatever you're measuring of Republicans and Democrats isn't the same. You with me so far? So if you want to argue that the grand mean aligns with the Republican mean, all you have to do is oversample Republicans. You with me? And then the grand mean will be closer to the mean of the oversampled group. And if you want to prove that the grand mean is more aligned with the Democrats, all that you do is oversample that group, and it will pull the grand mean of the sample in that direction. Make sense? You got to watch for this. This happens all the time. And I'm not just talking about politics. On our own fair campus, the librarians wanted to be tenured, okay? Because librarians have been without a share of the tenure system for a long time. And one of the things that they wanted to do, you know, that one's harder. Let's do a simpler one. Let's talk about see, all the real examples get complicated.
Who's the librarians? I want to hear about them.
No. tell you what, I have a handout. I'm going to bring the handout with me on Wednesday, and we'll do this. And I think there's a librarian example in there. All right, so this is the basic answer to five, and I'll come in with an entertaining version of an example of this. And how all people had to do was change the way they represented whom and got completely different answers. Okay, and that's what I want you worrying about with stratification. Yes?
Do they try and just gloss over that part in the write-up?
Yeah.
Like, here's our mean.
Here's our grand mean. We took a representative sample. Now, you know, it's an APA blurb, or it's an AP blurb in the newspaper. They're not going to tell you their sampling strategy. They're not going to tell you the proportions. They're not going to tell you, well, here's the sample, here's the population strata, here's the sample strata, here's the final number. They just say, we know what we're doing, no really. And we're fair and honest, no really. And we got this. See, we were right.
Couldn't you just weight the different means?
The way that you can have your cake and eat it too is to use this sampling strategy, but then use a weighted grand mean, where you take this times 70% plus this times, yes, you can do that. Then all you have to do is tweak what is your claims about the population strata. You can still have your way. Okay? There is no substitution for replication and convergence. That's why we gave up on the critical experiment, whether it's astronomy, chemistry, or, you know, demographic sampling. The notion of trust comes tough in this business because it is so easy to cheat. And so what we do is we implicitly and explicitly trust each other and then run out and replicate their results. It's a weird social environment. But yeah, that's the way to fix it. But that fix requires that these numbers be honest and true. So we've changed where the lying, cheating, and stealing occurs.